You could please turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. It's there we'd like to look a bit further at the subject of the curse. When Pastor Wenham presented his ministry this morning, and the heading was the faith principle, and the number one point in his outline was the curse, I thought, I wonder what overlap is there going to be today. And the Lord had already directed me, and I thought, I'm locked in. And I thought, Lord, you're sovereign. You direct the ship accordingly. And then Pastor preached from Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 5 and 7 specifically, but also linking in verse 9. And there it reads, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. Cursed and blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. And it was the contrast between curse and blessing. And that came through this morning. And in life, there is that faith principle, the just shall live by faith. And it's a very strong one, and it's avoiding of that curse. And I'd love to just look at the subject of curse today from more so the angle of salvation, and those who are living under the law are under that curse. And in Galatians chapter 3 verse 10 we read very specifically, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Then in verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We'd like to look at the subject of the curse of the law. That's the subject of this evening's ministry, the curse of the law. And then look at the subject of Christ was made a curse for us. And then to conclude with the faith principle, or the importance of faith, and the example of Abraham in this passage. The curse is that divine sentence, or that divine pronouncement of God's righteous judgment. And we read about that. It's the curse, but it's the judgment, it's the divine judgment, it's the divine sentence. The word means down or intensive. It's down upon. The word is execration, or the expression of abhorrence or disgust. And it's the wrath of God being displayed. It's very much so. That whole cursing that comes, it's consigning a person to that place or thing, to that place of destruction. It's that condemnation that comes if someone tries to do something that is so contrary to the pathway of God. God is a God of love, but God also is a God of righteous standards and judgments, and he brings forth this curse that is here stated in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. Just reading again, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. So those who are of the works of the law are under the curse. And the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3, in fact throughout Galatians, is trying to get to the Galatians to see, why are you being so foolish at this moment? Why are you bewitched? Why are you being turned around? You started by faith in Christ. Why are you switching back to the works of the law? Saying it's by the works of the law that a man is saved. And the Apostle Paul is trying to bring before them that we are not saved by the works of the law. We are saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone. As Pastor said this morning, Luther had said, it's by faith alone. It's by grace alone. It's by scripture alone, it's by the word of God, and it's by faith, it's by Christ alone, and as those whole truths that compound and come around. But here they were relapsing back, and are beginning to follow the works of the law for their salvation. And this is the whole point. And the Apostle Paul was trying to say to them that the cursing or the condemnation is on everyone that is under the works of the law. So if someone stands under the works of the law, then they are there under that condemnation and that judgment, because that is which they are depending. It's a quote from Deuteronomy 27:26. And if we could turn, we'll come back to Galatians 3, but if you could please turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 27, and it's there we read about the curse, and virtually this same statement is made in the context of the children of Israel who were under the law. For we read in Deuteronomy 27:26, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. And so cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law. So if you do not all the works of this law, then you stand under that curse, because the law is there, the standard is there. If you can see back in verse 9 of chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, we read that Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day thou art become the people of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt therefore obey the voice of the Lord thy God, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim, to bless the people. And this is what Pastor was saying. On Mount Gerizim, there would be the blessing. It was a mount of blessing, Mount Gerizim. And we read in the next verse, verse 13, and these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse. And Ebal was a mount of cursing. So there was one mount, which was the mount of blessing, and the mount that was the mount of cursing. And God was contrasting these two, blessing versus cursing. And remembering that cursing is that divine sentence or judgment that shall come to bear upon someone. And under the law, we read verse 15, cursed be the man that maketh any graven image or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord. In verse 16, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be he that removeth his neighbour's landmark. Verse 18, cursed be he that maketh the blind to wander out of the way. Cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless and widow. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife, because he uncovereth his father's skirt. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. It goes on. But the truth is, he is saying that divine sentence and judgment will be upon these people. And then verse 26 encapsulates all of these and brings home that statement, that cursed be he that not confirmeth not all the works of this law to do them. And the word is there stated, they are there to be done. The children of Israel could not fulfill the law. They fell short, they failed, and even today we read in the New Testament that there's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we need to see firstly this principle that there's divine judgment on those who sin where there's a transgression of the law of God. That is sin. And 1 John 3:4 says that transgression or sin is a transgression of God's law. Is the law the problem? That's the question that's asked. And the Apostle Paul asked this question as well in Romans chapter 7 and verse 7. He said, What shall we say then? Is the law sin? If the law has brought about this problem, that I'm under the curse because of the law, is the law sin? Is God's law sin? And the Apostle Paul's asking that question very specifically under inspiration of Scripture. Is the law sin? Because under the law I've fallen short. It's brought about my condemnation. And that cursing that shall be upon me is the law sin. Romans chapter 7, verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, God forbid, in verse 7 of Romans 7. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So the law was revealing to the Apostle Paul what was sin. The law was revealing. Verse 8, but sin taking occasion by commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law sin was dead, but I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. Because God brought that, yes, you shall be saved if you fulfil all the commandments of this law. But I've realised I've come undone, I've fallen short, I've not met God's mark. And so because I've fallen short of that standard, and in James 2:10 it says, if you even fall short in one part of God's law, you have sinned. I was with a family just early this last week, and this man's dying with cancer. And I visited that morning, and his other members of his family visited that morning. And the conversation shifted from the medical needs to the very point of what is salvation, and I'm saved because I'm good to my neighbour. And he said, I'm good to my neighbour, so I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. And it's this whole thought that the works of the law will save, and the Apostle Paul is bringing home and driving home, it's by the law we realise the sinfulness of the human heart, and that we have fallen short, and we have all sinned. Verse 11 of Romans chapter 7, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and it slew me. It was sin that deceived me and slew me. It was my sin. It's my sin that slew me. It wasn't the commandment. Verse 12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. It's not the law. The law is holy and just and good. It's God's standard. And we need to uphold God's standard. But we've got to see that we have fallen short of God's standard. And you might say, oh, look, I'm not like the person down the road who has done this sin or that sin. Whatever we have done, none of us is perfect. And we're all undone before a holy God. We have all sinned. And we have fallen short of God's law. And that judgment or that condemnation, that sentence, that righteous sentence is upon us because we have fallen short. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. James 2:10. You say, that's hard. But God is saying that we can't come up with an excuse that we've fulfilled it all except for one point. If we have fallen short, we've fallen short. We're either guilty or not guilty. God is saying, all stand guilty before me. It's either condemned or not condemned. We all stand in that condemned state before a holy God because of our sin. I think of life and years are passing for me, and I see graves and I see cemeteries and I see the size of Rookwood Cemetery, and I realise it's there, it's generational, and it's fathers and uncles and grandfathers and great-grandfathers and great-great-grandfathers, and it goes back and back, and you realise that the soul that sinneth, it shall die, and we realise that physical death will come upon us, but that's physical death. But we're going to talk now about what Christ did for us, which is the answer in respect to spiritual life, because really our body is frail. And I've been thinking and dwelling a lot on a book I've read recently called Dunn, D-O-N-E, not D-U-N-N, like a surname of someone in our church. It was Dunn, D-O-N-E. The deed is done. And how religions of the world are doing. But Christ has finished the work. The work is done. Jesus cried from that cross, it is finished. He paid the penalty for our sins. He became sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ was made a curse for us. I'd like to read a bit more about it, but I was just reading today about this whole thought of whipping boys, and historically, especially in royalty, if someone was being groomed for special status and yet there was a sin and something had been committed and there was a payment that was required, there was an innocent one taken in, and that one became the whipping boy for the penalty that was there. And that wasn't voluntary. That was something that was laid upon that one because the penalty had to be paid. And so there was a substitute created. But here we have a substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came voluntarily to that cross of Calvary. It was God who loved this world and gave his only begotten Son. It was Christ who walked that road to Calvary, and he surrendered his life a ransom for many. He was crucified on Calvary's tree that we might have life and that we would not be under the curse. He came into the world not that we would be condemned, but that we would be saved. And John 3 thunders that loud and clear. He's come that not to condemn the world, but Christ came that we would be saved. Christ came that we would be saved. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 we read, and if we could please return there, we read that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. When I think about it, that he became that curse for us. He became that sin bearer, that substitute. John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was that sacrifice on Calvary's tree. And he came willingly and voluntarily to be that sacrifice upon that cross of Calvary. And he died and shed his precious blood that we might have life and that we might be able to live in the abundance of all that he has provided. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 we read, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He who knew no sin was made the righteousness of God that we might have life in Christ. He became sin for us. He who knew no sin that we might. He bore that penalty on Calvary's tree and cried out, it is finished, it is finished. Because he became that Lamb of God to pay the penalty for our sin. The righteous judgment of God demanded that payment. And that payment was made by God himself in the personage of his Son. Praise his name. We read there, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. This is another quote from the Old Testament. And if we could please turn back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 21:22. But it's there in that whole context of Deuteronomy, we read of cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. It's good for you to see the context in verse 21. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones, and he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. And if any man hath committed a sin worthy of death, and he be to put to death, and thou hang him on a tree. His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. For he that is hanged is a curse of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. For he that is hanged is accursed of God, he that hangeth upon a tree. And Christ was hanged upon that tree. In this context, judgment, the divine sentence, was by stoning. And the Jews did not go down that pathway of crucifixion, but they were hanged on the tree afterward as a sign of disgrace and humiliation and acknowledgement. And this was the curse, that everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And so this was that which was a pathway that was in that sense avoided because of that humiliation and that shame. But that the stoning took place, yes. But with Christ, he was hung upon that tree. And he was hung upon that tree on that wooden cross for our sin. He became a curse for us. And that's why we have this context in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on that tree. And the whole context in Deuteronomy 21:23 was, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, because he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled. And it comes back to this whole thought of the hanging upon a tree. And Christ was cursed that we might have life. And as I've thought about it, even coming to this evening, I thought of my appreciation so much more, that Christ was my substitute and he loved me and gave himself for me. And I know that redemption pathway, and Christ gave himself and paid that penalty for my sin that I might have life. And I'm not saved under the works of the law. For he that is still living under the works of the law or his own righteousness, then he stands under that condemnation or sentence or cursing of God, because that judgment will fall. Might not be today, might not be tomorrow, but that judgment will fall from God upon sin. Just like to conclude with the faith principle, or the importance of faith. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Because of what Christ has achieved, that pathway of faith is possible. And I praise God for that pathway of faith, that it's there before us. It was before Abraham, and he believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And this whole context, that is highlighted. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And it's all through faith, because it's what Christ has done. He bore that penalty on that tree of Calvary. He bore our sin, and because he bore our penalty and we believe on him as Saviour from sin, we have imputed unto us, or reckoned to our account, his righteousness. And we stand in that righteousness today, not our own. Going back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, and even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same as of the children of Abraham. Was, when you consider the law, when you consider the works of the law and Moses, the scholars say Abraham was 400 years before Moses. Because Abraham was called to go from the Ur of the Chaldees and to head down to the promised land. And God had promised that unto him. And Moses came much later in the history of the children of God. When you consider it, it's after they're down in Egypt, and Moses leads them out of Egypt back into the promised land and the giving of the law. It's 400 years since that time that Abraham stepped out by faith. It was before the imposition of the law. But God is bringing out this principle here. It's by faith. It's not by the works of the law that we are saved. And we talk here about Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. If we could see that in Romans chapter 3, verses 24, 25, 26, we read that wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. It was directing the ship. It was revealing our sin. It was showing us our sinfulness, revealing to us that we have fallen short of that standard that God had set. That the law was good and just and holy, and we fell short of that standard. And we needed a saviour. And it's Christ who came to save us, and we can be justified or declared righteous by faith. Verse 25, but after that faith is come, we are no longer after us under a schoolmaster. Isn't that a blessing? After faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For those who have just graduated from school recently, you can say, I'm no longer under a schoolmaster. But spiritually speaking, the schoolmaster here is the law. We're not under the law for salvation, and we need to see that. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, because we don't have to submit to that law. We pursue his standard because the Spirit is working in our hearts, and the Spirit will drive us with a compulsion from the Spirit of God and bring conviction to bear on our lives that that is right, that is wrong. And we'll fulfill God's standard because God is ministering to our hearts. And we see the standard of God, and we see the word of God, and we see the principles of God, and we see our desire to obey God in all things. And we'll say, Lord, I want my life to manifest the reign of Christ in my life because I'm redeemed, I've been bought with a price, and I want to glorify God in my body. It's going to come from the heart, it's going to come from appreciation, it's going to come from his love toward us because it's that ministry to our lives. But in verse 26, for you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. It's that pathway of faith. Galatians chapter 2 verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And this is what the Apostle Paul was saying, that cursed is every man, or divine judgment is going to be on anyone who is basing their lives upon the works of the law for their salvation. That judgment, that curse is upon them. But the truth is that Christ bore the curse. He bore that penalty. He became sin for us. No wonder he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because at the cross, he bore the penalty of our sin. He became sin for us, and he became that curse for us on that cross of Calvary. So great was his love toward us. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I pray that you're dependent upon the Lord for your salvation. I pray that you are. Just in closing, if we could turn to Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, we just share a few thoughts in conclusion. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And it's everyone that believeth. We know that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. We're not under the law for salvation. Praise his name. It's all by God's gracious love toward us through faith, by grace, that we have that which we have before us even now. And we praise his blessed and wonderful name. In verse 10 we read, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I trust if you're here and you've been depending upon your own righteousness, your good works, you fulfilling the law, friend, you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. God has said, and his word is true, there's none righteous, no, not one. We've all fallen short. And there's a curse or a judgment on those who sin. But the truth is that Christ became that judgment. Christ became that sin. Christ became that sin bearer. And it's for us to believe and to have faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And likewise, we need to see the end of ourself. It's not ourself that gets to heaven. It's not you and me that works to get to heaven. We have to let go. It's all about Christ. He has achieved it for us, and we praise his blessed and wonderful name. Amen.